Music right there from the original Last Waltz. That's from the album, not the film. What you'll be seeing on stage Sunday night at Jilly's is a recreation of the film.
Correct.
I want to welcome into the studio Jeff Opt, a good friend of the show, and welcome back, Mr. Todd the Fox.
Hey, guys. Hi.
Thank you for having us, Julia.
It is my pleasure. This Sunday night marks a very exciting occasion. I've been looking forward to this, Jeff, ever since you first told me. It was kind of a nugget of an idea swirling around in your head. Sunday night is going to be such a night, to use your title. It is The Last Waltz, live in Dayton. And it features over 30 local musicians recreating the band's Last Waltz concert. I want to start off, Jeff, how did you ever get the idea or the notion to put this whole thing together?
Well, it's been – I've loved that film as long as I've seen it, and just one of my favorites as far as rock and roll documentaries goes. But I'm always get frustrated sometimes with how Scorsese shot it, and I'm like, what else is happening on the stage? You know, because he does all these tight shots, and I love it. It's beautiful, and the music's great and all that, but I always like, what else is going on? And over the years, you talk to people, and they love that film, too. And then over the last couple of years, I'm like, well, you know, Dayton has the talent. Boy, wouldn't it be fun to treat it like classical music, you know, like Mozart or Beethoven? It's rock and roll classical music, things that everyone should know, and perform it, you know, just as a concert kind of thing. So that's like the very basic idea in my head. And then I got serious about it over the last year, just after like seeing Shelley's show for the David Bowie Ziggy Stardust. That was like, wow, you know, people came out for that. We could do the Last Waltz and things like that. It'd be fun. So back in October, I floated the idea against, put it out to a few musician friends of mine just to see who was interested. And that started the very basics of it. Got like our first six or seven people involved from that, and we had our first rehearsal in November, and it was a very organic growth process because I told them to invite anyone they thought would be interested in doing it, and it's kind of built from there. Like going in, I was hoping for maybe one or two horn players because I didn't know any horn players, and now we have an 8-piece horn section.
That's awesome.
And and we have more than close to 30 people involved, and some of them I know very well, and some of them I've met through this, and I like the idea of what if propositions, like what happens if we throw this, and just leaving it open to see what comes in. And we've just been blessed with amazing musicians, coming in through the door that I don't think I've turned anyone down that wanted to be involved in this. And they've all stepped up and, it's a lot of pushing people outside of their comfort zone sometimes, or having people resonate right in their comfort zone, like Jimmy Rogers on organ is great.
Oh, yeah.
In the Garth Hudson role, and he's been just an archive of information about this. And, I like mixing people together. I think we have probably three or four generations of Dayton musicians all performing in this. The youngest is a 17-year-old from Stivers, all the way to the era of Jimmy Rogers and Sharon Lane and things like that are all involved. So it's a real mixing of across different boundaries and music in Dayton. So, and I'm kind of like the Tom Sawyer role where it was purely selfish on my part, like, hey, I think let's throw a show, anyone else want to do it? I don't have any money or anything like that. And threw it out there and musicians jumped in and followed me in my dream. And here we are.
Now you have kind of the core band, and then there's the horn section, and then there's all of the musicians kind of representing all of the different guests that came up with the band. You had Bob Dylan and Van Morrison and all these different guest performers. How did you, as these organic rehearsal processes came underway, how did you then sort of figure out like, this guy's going to do the Bob Dylan part, or this guy's going to be a part of the core band? Or did that also just sort of materialize organically?
That sort of developed organically. Like the first people that I put the word out to, all came in, and most of them are in the core band. Trey Stone and Jimmy Rogers and Steve Phelps and Kyle Byram. I probably mispronounced his name. He'll hate me for that. And Tim Pritchard and Larry Evans. They all kind of answered the call. And like Kyle was a person I was thinking for the Clapton role, but he's like, I'd really like to play this whole show. And I'm like, okay, there's no reason we can't have two guitar players. We're not trying to be note perfect on what the movie was or anything, but We decided the best way to approach it is like the movie, with a core band that stays on through all those, because, you know, just for logistics of getting people on and off stage, it makes sense to have one group of people learn all 24 songs as opposed to having, you know, 10 bands up there trying to play it. And then there's some people that I had in mind for specific roles, you know, in my head that, you know, I'd love to hear Sharon Lane do Dr. John song, you know, and Paige Beller do Coyote. And I knew that she probably didn't know that song, but I'm like, she's got that song's all about attitude and good vocals, and I bet Paige could pull it off. So she's one of those people that it was something unfamiliar to her. So she was willing to take the chance, though, and jump in. And I think she'll amaze people, you know, on Sunday night. And then other people approached me and said, you know, like Rich Reuter wanted to do the Clapton part. And I'm like, I truthfully had not heard him play, you know, so I'm like, sure, let's try it, you know, and just see what it sounds like. And he jumped in and it sounded great. Everyone liked him. And so that's how he ended up in the band.
And Todd, how did you get involved in all this?
The short answer is we were watching the film at Yellow Cab one day, and it starts off with the, this film intended to be played loud, yep. You know, the placard that comes up, and then the first guest, it's like the third song in.
Third or fourth.
Yeah, it's the Hawk himself, Ronnie Hawkins, and about halfway through it, Jeff looks over me and goes, yeah, you're going to do this role. I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to do this role. So that's organic, right? I was told what to do. Right place, right time, told what to do.
And it's absolutely right. If somebody's going to be Ronnie Hawkins, you would be my first pick, too, to be perfectly honest.
Who do we know who has no couth and will scream his head off for 3 minutes?
I was thinking good stage presence.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'll take that, too.
Do you find, for both of you, that having this many musicians kind of, you know, in rooms together working on this and working for as long as you have, have you found that different connections and collaborations have come out of this show? You know, people that may not have been connected before are, you know, pursuing projects together or getting to know each other and enjoying playing with each other.
As a direct answer, I've been playing with these people. You know, like what I do tends to be rock and blues and country, but, you know, so it's, I know all these musicians who have guitars and basses and drum kits and, you know, even washboards and, you know, kazoos and, like, you know, kind of crazy out of the way, you know, banjos and, you know, mandolins, stuff like that. But being associated with this thing, I've started meeting horn players, which is kind of like a weird alien thing to actually look for and to try to find out. So I've been working with one of the trumpet players, Nick Dever. He's done one show with me. And matter of fact, Friday night for the Whiz Bang show, I'm trying my best to talk him into coming out and doing a couple tunes where he sings and plays trumpet while I sing and play guitar and Stomp the Suitcase. And yeah, it's just because every Sunday it's we're hanging out. I do my song. He does his, you know, 15 songs or whatever. He's like on 15 of them. I'm on one of them. So like we've got time for like the other, you know, five or six he's not playing on that. And like we're sitting, talk and kind of hang out and like, hey, could you do the trumpet part from Ring of Fire? And then he'll go in the back carpet room. Like, oh, what if we actually put that? That's a good idea. Do you know Minnie the Moocher? Oh my God. So, yeah, it's been that kind of, yeah, just me personally. I've gotten exposed to people like this. And like Jeff was talking about the generational thing, you know, I'm kind of somewhere in the middle of this, maybe towards the younger end of what's going on here. But like, I've gotten to meet phenomenal players who I never would have gotten a chance to hang out with regularly. Because our schedules wouldn't have matched up, and we don't have the same circle of friends, but this thing has brought everybody together.
And Jeff, what's your experience of that been as sort of the guy who gets to? We were kind of talking before we went on that you get like the best stereo every week.
Exactly,
getting to be a part of these rehearsals.
I'm entirely spoiled just because I've turned it over to the bands the people in the band to figure out how to rehearse. You know, I'm not pretending to know anything about running a rock and roll band. I know enough musically to be dangerous, you know, and that's about it. I have no desire to be on stage personally, really. You know, I'm a background kind of person and stuff like that. So like when we first started rehearsing, my only direction was, you know, we don't have to be note perfect, have to be in the ballpark, you know, and have fun, you know, because this, no one's getting paid for this. We're all volunteering. And so if we're not having fun, you know, then what's the point of doing it? So that's always been the first and foremost thing, to have fun and to see what we can do. And it's been fun. It's been amazing to watch. You know, like Todd said, I have very little experience with horn players. So it was a whole different world to watch how, like, the core band rehearsed versus the horn section. All their stuff is done on charts. You know, Dan Herford, one of the lead horn players, charted everything that they were playing and went through and mapped out all the songs and listened to the music and, you know, pulled it out just by listening to it, which amazes me that he can do that. And then watching how the two integrate together, I think that was, you know, for me, that was one of the more interesting parts, you know, because there was points where the charts didn't agree with what the band had learned. And like we'd be going through, you know, and all of a sudden they'd be playing along perfectly and then derail.
Or something just didn't gel.
Right. And then you go back and get to that part again and derails again. Okay, third time through, yeah, something's off, you know. So then they had to sit and figure it out, you know, between the horns and the band. And, you know, I think it was an experience for the people, for a lot of the people in the band, their first time playing with horns or a group that large. And, you know, with the special guests, that's a little bit easier because they're just in and out for one song. And they're all important, but they're only learning the one song. But to learn all 20 of the songs, or all, you know, half the songs have horns on them and things like that, it's a whole different kind of thing to watch. And like I said, I was entirely spoiled every Sunday to go down and just watch these amazing musicians, you know, practice their craft and get better at it. You know, I mean, that we can pull it together in 4 months is just a testament to all their abilities.
And you mentioned, you know, that everybody is volunteering their time, and I don't want to omit the fact that this is a benefit show. All of the money raised for the show is going to the food bank. What was behind the decision to do that, to make this, you know, not just this great treat for the Miami Valley, but a great wonderful treat that is also doing a lot of good and giving back to a lot of people?
Well, multiple things. One hand, it makes it easy because I didn't have to figure out how to pay 30 people. I will admit to that, you know, and I knew that no matter how much we made, it, you know, it wouldn't be enough to cover how much talent they had. And, you know, we've done plenty of benefits for Sideshow, and the community has supported us and Yellow Cab and things like that, and as well as all the musicians in town. So I thought, well, let's make it a benefit show and give back something to Dayton, you know, just, you know, musicians giving back, supporting their community that supports them. And then we started looking around for different charities, you know, that would be good and that no one could have any problem with, you know, and I don't know anyone that's opposed to feeding people. And the food bank this year especially is a little bit down on funding with the recession and all that. I've been, you know, you follow their post and things like that, and they're down about 20% this year. So I'm like, well, we can make a real difference, you know, with this show. The statistic they give is every dollar raised, they can make 8 meals for every dollar raised. So, you know, people say, how much money do you want to give them? I'm like, well, it's not. I said, my goal is 10,000 meals. You know, I'm not even thinking in terms of money. So, you know, if we raise 10,000 meals in one night, that's, you know, a big dent.
Absolutely.
That's enough to make a difference in other people's lives and, you know, help them through potentially rougher spots. And the joke is that we'll next start the starving artists and musicians food bank, you know, just to help our community out. But, you know, it's always good to give back to.
I got to talking to them the other day, and they gave me a bunch of bananas.
Yeah, hey, yeah. See?
I got like 6 bananas out of
there. Exactly.
So, yeah, that's a win, yeah.
And from what you guys have told me, from what I've heard in talking to various musicians that are involved in this, the food bank is also they're really getting involved in kind of their own way. I mean, they're going to have a presence at the event.
Correct.
They're,
yes.
They're, you know, kind of helping promote this and things like that. Was that partnership with the sort of the charity or the benefactee that you chose, was that something that you had always had in mind, or was that something that just, again, kind of happened organically through kind of the magic behind the show?
Well, it was something I was thinking about, you know, because not knowing exactly how much money we would raise with this show, I figured at the very least we're going to have a good crowd, and if we can raise awareness about their organization, that's as good as money. You know, if it becomes on people's radar, you know, because a lot of people probably don't have to visit the food bank, you know, but for the people who do, it's very important. So if you're more aware of that, like, hey, this organization exists, you know, I should get involved somehow. So, you know, that was part of my goal, is by teaming and having them there, like, they'll give a little intro before the show just to inform people who they are and what they do. And they're a great organization. It's actually kind of like a clearinghouse warehouse where it serves 100 other food banks and organizations in the Miami Valley. So if you're giving to them, you're actually giving to a lot of organizations around. So that's the other reason that I chose them. And they're also going to help out at the door and help put on the show. And I think they'll be equally amazed just to see what the community is doing for them, too.
Yeah, if the few pre-sale tickets that have been released are any indication, this thing will most likely be sold out. So you want to what time are we going to open the doors? Like 7?
Something? No, probably between 6:30 and 6:45.
I would say if you want a ticket, you probably should get there about 6.
Yeah.
A lot of people are planning on coming out.
If you want a ticket and a good spot, I will say.
Right. I was about to say there should be at least 150 tickets at the door. You know, we've done, like Todd said, a fair amount pre-sale too. But trying not to sell it all the way out in advance, which I think we could do if we wanted to, you know. But so, get there early, because if you're there by 7:30 when the show starts, you probably won't get in, hopefully.
Yeah.
That's not that we don't want you to see the show. It's just, you know, that it is that popular.
What has the community response been like? I mean, I know as a huge fan of the Last Waltz film and a huge, read several books about the band and things like that, you know, I was positively geeking out on this idea. What has the response been from music fans around the community? Are you seeing a lot of enthusiasm for this? Is this something that people have been kind of, you know, clamoring for in their hearts and didn't even realize that it was something they wanted?
Nobody's told me it was a stupid idea yet. So.
I'm shocked how many people that I've, since all this has been going on, how many people cite Levon Helm as an influence. Like guitar players or drummers or just singers. People don't actually play, but they just sing. Like, that is a constant. People constantly reference him. So
he's one of those touchstones in rock and roll, I think. You know, he influenced a lot of people and continues to influence a lot of people. So, it's been, you know, because when we've only been really advertising this about a month, and prior to that, I would like let bits and pieces out, like, here's the super secret project I'm working on, just to tease people, you know, and the musicians involved also have been kind of doing that. So seems to have a good buzz around it. When I go out, people tell me things that they've been hearing about it, and it all seems good. So I'm to the point, you know, people are like, are you nervous about the show? I'm like, no, I know it's good. I've been watching it every week. You know, I said, I'm excited because I want to see it with a live audience, because the band is amazing now. I think when you get 300 or more people in front of them, they'll be super amazing. You know, it'll just be that much better.
Kind of like what we were talking about before with Tommy and Caleb, that give and take between performer and audience and feeling that reaction. I think I got to see a little bit of an early rehearsal, and even that was just amazing. But I'm really already envisioning what it's going to be like in a packed house. And there's a certain amount of energy there that is going to be really exciting.
Well, it's been encouraging because the musicians themselves seem to be, you know, all really into it. You know, like, no one's been leaving rehearsals. You know, you come early for your one song and you stay the whole day.
That actually is pretty true. I never really considered that. Yeah, people hang out all day.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, they may not be on till that end part of the show, but they'll show up early, you know. And so every rehearsal has been getting a little bit more crowded as people have been coming to check it out and hang out and see what's going on. And, you know, the buzz, you know, when you get applause at rehearsal, I think that's a good sign, you know.
Yeah, right. You know, the thing that that amazes me is how well everybody's getting along and how efficient everything is going. Because let's not kid ourselves. These are musicians. No matter what stripe or color or background or you know, where they're coming from, musicians have a few things in common. They tend to be emotional and they tend to be late. And like both of these, like we do these rehearsals and everything runs pretty much like clockwork, and there's not like, hey, your song's on, get in here. Like, no, people are ready, they're willing to work, and they're excited to work. There are disagreements that happen, but they get talked out. Like, you know, the guitar player, one guitar player will do a lead break, and then one of the keyboard players will say, you know, maybe we should switch this up, or, you know, maybe like just do like 8 bars instead of a 16 bar solo, just do an 8 bar solo and we'll split this up. And like, it just gets talked out, gets worked out, and no fighting, no raised voices, no pouting, no anything, no passive aggressive. And it's just a wonderful experience as a musician to work with all these musicians coming together for a good cause, which I totally credit this man right here for doing, because Jeff has been so good to the Dayton music scene and for years now, and everybody who's worked with him has had a positive experience. He always has good stuff to say about stuff. Never has anything negative to say. He does the old ain't got nothing good to say. Just keep your mouth shut. But it's one of those things where he had this idea and started asking people, and people like, yeah, I want to make this happen. So.
Again, the Tom Sawyer approach.
So, yeah, that's one of the things where I'm just shocked and amazed and proud, more than anything, just proud that everybody can work together for a good cause and make this happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you get 30 people working on any kind of project, you're running the risk of egos and hurt feelings.
Oh, yeah.
and this and that.
And we've seen none of that, and I take no credit for that. I just unlocked the building, and the band has been doing it all themselves and working it out. Again, you know, each and sometimes as the core band or the horn section, you know, each practicing their own thing, but then coming together, you know, they've like, that's not my forte. I don't know that stuff. I'm like, you guys are the rock and roll people. You figure out how you want to practice, you know.
It was kind of fun. The first day that the horn showed up and the guitar players did their necks craned around, like, what? How are we going to make this work? Now, can you guys just jam? Can you just riff a little bit? No, where's my paper?
Well, for both of you, moving beyond Sunday night, what's next for both of you guys? Jeff, I know Sideshow is in your future. That's
the next big project. That'll be Urban Nights, May 10th and 11th, and it'll be our eighth annual Sideshow. Which for those people who aren't familiar with it, it's a 2-day art festival celebrating the arts and culture of Dayton. Is the easy way to describe it. It's a lot of underground art, a lot of people you've never heard of and people you've heard of. You know, it's a good mix. We have, you know, on the average about 50 artists showing work and usually about 20 bands playing over 2 days for free.
For free!
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
The price is right.
Exactly. You know, and, you know, sure, we ask for donations and things like that. But, you know, if you're drinking beer there from our beer truck, you're helping fund the show, you know. So we try not to make it too expensive to put on and, you know, been able to do it every year. And it's an amazing thing. It's kind of like Camelot in some ways where even like that Friday at noon before the show starts, it's still waiting to come together. And then about 5 o'clock rolls around and all of a sudden it appears and it's all volunteer run. Todd was our volunteer coordinator last year and this year too. So
we are accepting volunteers.
Exactly. You know.
And it's one of those that, once again, it's another project that brings people together who may not normally come together, and they get to hang out and there's different people. You know, you find new people. They're like, oh, I'm going to start. You know, we should start hanging out.
Yeah.
You're cool.
You know.
Or, you know, what? Or like, I didn't realize I liked Pop Surrealism.
And the beauty of that show is if you find something you don't like, either move like 10 feet down the wall, you know, or if it's a band plan, you know, walk away for 40 minutes and
That's
come
right.
back,
mm-hmm.
and there will be something entirely different there because the culture in Dayton is just so amazing and so deep that even without hitting the high points of what's going on in the Schuster or Victoria, which is all great too, but there's a lot of people doing stuff that you'll never see in those venues, you know, that people should come out and see, and we just want to show it off, you know. So that's my next project, so May 10th and 11th.
And Todd, what about you? What's next for you?
I have tons of stuff going on. I don't know how much time we have, so I'll just say ToddTheFox.com, ToddTheFox.com, where all your Todd the Fox needs can be met. We have videos. We have MP3s. We have pictures. We have links. We have dates. We have ways to contact us to book us. We do private parties. I'm just saying. So, yeah, ToddTheFox.com is pretty much, yeah. I feel like I need to plug Johnny Whizbang one more time. I don't want to step on your toes, Jeff.
No, it's fine.
Friday
it's
night, Johnny Whizbang is going to be a big one. Actually, I'm going to do the next six, if that's okay.
Go for it.
Tomorrow
do
night,
it.
I'm going to be at Jimmy's Ladder 11 for the first time ever with the Tombstone Tremblers.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. Awesome show.
That's going to be a good time.
They're a great band.
Friday is the Johnny Whizbang show. You don't want to miss that. Saturday, I've been hired as a hired gun. You'll have to check the website for that. Sunday is The Last Waltz, such a night, which I was going to say.
Such a night, The Last Waltz.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. The Last Waltz.
I should be writing this down and reading it instead of just talking off the top of my head. Yeah, I've got some like live streaming internet stuff coming up, and I think I'm going to South Park with the Ghost Wolves from, they're from Texas.
Very nice.
So
yeah,
they're actually coming up here to play with us Tuesday night at South Park Tavern. And then the 1st of March, One-Eyed Jacks. Orange Willard and Todd the Fox. And I'm actually wearing my Orange Willard t-shirt tonight. So it's the old school lobster design. So.
Very nice.
This is rare.
Radio reveal for that one.
I'd say another two shows we should plug is also the Shrug and Jasper the Colossal show on Saturday.
Which I
just because all those people are in the last waltz, exactly. You want to plug their stuff, yeah. Whatever.
Which I may actually have tickets to give away too. So so stay tuned for that, y'all.
Go see it. You know, I mean, because again, great musicians, Dayton musicians, and be a great show. And then also. The rock and roll play date on the 24th, which is a fun.
That's what we're calling the after party. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
It's an open mic, and it's one of those like rock and roll based open mics where bands come to demo their songs and tighten things up, and then have jam sessions with musicians they meet. So we'll have some fun down at Jilly's, and then
exactly
our go show, to the play date.
The last waltz should be over by 10, and if you want a place to go afterwards, I can't guarantee how many of the musicians will be there, but I know a chunk of them will probably go from Jilly's down to
One-Eyed Jack's.
Jam there afterwards. So if you haven't got your fill of the band.
They will be signing autographs, yeah. But it will be autographs from the characters that they played on stage for the band. So,
I like it.
If you can't find something to do in Dayton, you're not getting off your couch.
Yeah, you're not trying.
And we've got a slew of things to do on our Facebook page, including all the shows we've just talked about, facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio, including the big old event page for Such a Night, listing all of the performers. I know you're going to recognize a lot of those names. Todd Widener, Paige Beller, Tim Pritchard, Kyle from the White Soots, all kinds of good people playing music. Come out Sunday night. It's going to be awesome. And guys, if people want to get more info on volunteering for Sideshow, where should they go? How can they get in touch with you on that as well?
Look up Dayton Sideshow on Facebook. That's probably the easiest way. Or email on DaytonSideshow2013@gmail.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Because, you know, people may come out Sunday night, like it so much, and say, I want to help these guys on their next project.
We'd love that. Never have too many volunteers, you know?
That's right. That's right. Come out Sunday night, Jilly's. Such a Night, it's a recreation of The Last Waltz. Proceeds benefit the food bank, a very good cause helping our community. Come out, hear some great music.
And the tickets are cheap at $5, and we'll encourage you to give more because, again, every dollar raised provides 8 meals for families here in the Miami Valley.
Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful cause. Let's hear another one from the Last Waltz CD. And Todd, could I persuade you to play one or two more live ones after this?
Maybe, yeah. Me and Jeff will work something out.
Okay.
We may do the wait or something.
Okay.
You can do,
just the two of you.
You can do the harmony, right?
That'll close the show right there.
Well, let's take a listen to this one, and we'll be back with more fun, more surprises, all kinds of good stuff here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
hear him talk. Now there's one thing in the whole wide world I sure do love to see. That's how that little sweet thing of mine puts a donut in my tea. I'm going up on Cripple Creek. Now she sent me in by spring of leaf. Now she missed me. I don't have to speak. Now she defends.
The WYSO performance space for a few more live ones from Mr. Todd the Fox.
All right. Jeff mentioned the after party at the Rock and Roll Playdate. This is something that I've been kind of messing around with over there. Someone challenged me to do a goofy cover, and I said, yeah, we can do it, but we're going to do it my way. Oh, yeah. All right. Somebody's hiding down in the icebox. Somebody's cold, giving me chills. Guess I'll just close my eyes. Oh, yeah. He's good. Inside. Wrestle with Jim. Something is bubbling inside my back. The bottle is ready to blow. Say it so. Years of silence, you clean up, found Jesus.
Todd the Fox, live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. Check him out. He's playing all over the place. Jimmy's Ladder 11 tomorrow night. Captain Johnny's Whiz Bangs Friday night at Jilly's. He's got more dates up on ToddTheFox.com. And, of course, check him out at Such a Night, the Last Waltz recreation. It's Sunday night at Jilly's. We've got details on all of this and more, plus a link to his website. It's ToddTheFox.com. On our Facebook page, we're at Facebook.com/KaleidoscopeRadio. And I think Todd's ready to do one more for us. I'm going to hand things back over to Mr. Todd the Fox.
So I think this may be one we're going to... Hey, I'll give you a sneak peek. We may close the show out Friday night with this one. This is Todd the Fox original. It's going to be on the next album. This one's called Here's the Thing. Well, I've noticed never around.
Todd the Fox, live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. And I have to say, kazoo solo? Where else but why so? Check out Todd the Fox. He's going to be at Captain Johnny's Whiz Bang Friday night. It's at Jilly's. He's playing as part of Such a Night, the Last Waltz show Sunday night at Jilly's. He's at Jimmy's Ladder 11 on Thursday. And all kinds of other dates are available at ToddTheFox.com. Todd, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Todd the Fox, check him out. We've got more coming up. We've got your chance to win tickets to Canal Street Tavern, and we will tell you about a band that's coming to South Park Tavern this weekend. But first, let's get back to a little music right now. Here is The Swell Season from Strict Joy. This is Kaleidoscope on WYSO.